Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. So glad you're with us, and each and every week, we put together the latest, greatest home improvement information that you're going to find anywhere. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and we've got a lot of things to talk about, including proper attic ventilation. That's something that we hit on quite a bit. Still maybe a little misunderstood with a lot of people, but we're going to talk about that a little bit. Also, going to introduce you to a special type of pressure washer. Sometimes you just don't need that big, giant pressure washer. You can go with something a little bit smaller. Joe, you know, one of those things about pressure washers, we say it all the time, once you have one, you end up using it to wash just about everything.
Well, you'll find uses for it. Absolutely. And you're right. I mean, not only do you not always need a super powerful one, but you don't need to spend that much money. I mean, it could be, you know, a few hundred dollars up to almost $1,000, depending on the size of the unit. And plus, these are, they're not run by gas engines anymore, a lot of the smaller ones. So you don't have to be, you know, worrying about oil and gas and all that stuff and the fumes, of course. So yeah, that market has been changing little by little over the last few years, I've noticed. And I'm interested to see what's coming down the line.
Yeah, certainly. And a lot of those more powerful ones, we found this out, is, you know, you get one that's really like 3,700 PSI or something like that. You got to have about three people to carry the darn thing around. I mean,
right.
It's just not that user friendly. And certainly having a additional hose for your wand there to, you know, so that you don't have to move it as much is really good. Another thing we're going to talk about, and this is so important this time of the year as we're really getting into some colder weather, is the leaky windows. And, you know, people just ponder over and over, should I replace my windows? Or what about storm windows? And can you use storm windows when you have vinyl siding on your house? There's a lot still constantly homeowners are trying to struggle with what's the best way to keep that cold air out.
Yeah, because it's leaking, you know, sometimes it leaks water, but it's certainly leaking cold air half the time, which is why those insulating kits that you put on the inside of your window are so popular, because they're very affordable and they're pretty effective. But you know, a permanent solution is really to decide, okay, what are we going to do with these old windows? How much can we kind of patch them? And maybe storm windows is an option. I live here in New England, and there are a lot of older homes that still have the original single pane glass windows, and they don't want to replace them because they're historically accurate. So they have to put up storms. They put them up every fall and they take them down every spring, and they do work. You know, they do work. So that is an option.
Well, you know, there's also, you hear people talking about, you know, putting storm windows, and for those of you that might not be familiar with that term, it's basically just a thin piece of glass with a frame that you attach to the outside of your windows, usually around on the trim. So it creates a little bit of an air pocket between your existing window and the storm window, which gives you insulation value and prevents that cold air from infiltrating the home. But I hear people talking about that the increase in heat that it creates by having that pocket can deteriorate the windows. And sometimes you hear people talking about, as a result of that, it's hard to keep their windows painted. So those are some of the things we're going to tackle there, along with a lot of other things. And I'm going to tell you how you could possibly win $1,000 worth of tools. Think about how much these days, with tools being pretty reasonable, $1,000 can buy an awful lot of tools and woodworking things. We're going to tell you about a brand new contest from our friends at Woodcraft. But Joe, you know, this time of the year, you know, we're just ahead of Thanksgiving, and people are, you know, they maybe it's their turn to have the Thanksgiving get together, and all of a sudden there's a little panic that sets in because the house just doesn't quite look like they want it to look for their guests and family that'll be arriving. So I thought, you know, we could share with some of these little very simple tips that we share from time to time, like breaking out the walnuts. Breaking out the walnuts. We've talked about this before. And why would you need walnuts? Well, they are good around the holidays to snack on and make cookies with, but
they're very healthy, right?
Joe, tell about the amazing thing it can do for scratches on cabinets and furniture.
Oh, I see where you're going. You're very subtle about that. Yeah, Danny's talking about a simple solution I showed, how you can use a walnut to repair scratches. If you have scratches on a piece of furniture, especially a dark stained piece of furniture, but it works on almost anyone, any piece of furniture, you just take the walnut, you know, the meat of the walnut, you know, crack it out of the shell, and then I usually break the walnut open to get past that little skin, because sometimes there's that little skin on the nut meat itself, so you're exposing the actual meat of the nut, and you just rub it. There's oil in there, there's a walnut oil, of course, and I'm not sure how it works, to tell you the truth, but it'll darken that scratch. I shot a simple solution of this. There was a scratch on top of a piano, and I rubbed it with the walnut, and there was no trick photography involved. I can attest to that, and it just disappears. Now, it doesn't last forever, but it lasts, you know, might last a few months or half a year, and then you can always go back and rub over. So you're right. So if you're getting ready for the holidays and you're noticing a bunch of scratches, and this works, by the way, on floors, chairs, tables, pianos, whatever, try the walnut trick. See if it works for you.
Yeah, it's worked actually in our office kitchen area, where I think, you know, maybe people reaching in, that maybe they have some rings on their finger and it kind of scars it, and maybe where the garbage can is, or where the, you know, the commonly used drawers like the forks and knives and so forth. And we just took that, and, you know, a couple years ago, and it's still holding up very, very well.
Oh, good.
So that works really good. You know, another thing, you're going to have people knocking on your front door and coming in for the get togethers and the gatherings and so forth. You want it to look pretty good out there. So certainly putting a fresh coat of paint or restaining and varnishing that front door, that's an easy one, and that's one of the first things that your guest will see. So why not make it look a little better? And then, of course, any of the polishing of any of the hardware is a great idea. You want to make sure that you know, trim back any of the bushes and so forth. Maybe take the pressure washer, or, you know, at least a hose, and kind of clean all of the surfaces there, just so that it's nice and clean. And also your handrails, if you have any handrails out there, they may need to be relied upon, so make sure they're in good shape and are ready to, you know, help someone up the stairs if they need to. Those are things that are always really good. You know, talking about, of course, the walnut and the scratches on that, if someone's has painted cabinets, especially white painted cabinets, I've seen people, I mean, I've used this a lot myself on my previous house that had white painted cabinets, breaking out the whiteout. Just the little thing of whiteout, because it's thick, and a lot of times you'll have not just a scratch, but a bit of a gouge, but you can feel, you know, put a little on there and let it dry, put a little more on there and let it dry, and before long you've surfaced it out, much like you're doing with the oil of the walnut, and it helps that disappear. You can use that in a lot of situations, even appliances that may have a little nick on it that are white, you can use that. It works really well.
Yeah, and you're talking about the front door, and we always say, you know, if you're trying to sell your home, or you're having people over for the holidays, you know, what's the first thing they see, right? Walking up the front steps, where they have a walkway, or just grass to get to your, in our case, we have stone steps, so they're pretty maintenance-free, but often you have to clean up the front walkway. And at the front door, they make, replace, if you have a doormat, I think most people do, you can replace it with a holiday doormat. They're pretty affordable this time of year. You can get them for the autumn, you know, for Thanksgiving, which is coming up in a few days. Or obviously they have Christmas ones as well. And then you put a couple of potted plants for the holidays, and you can just decorate it. They have battery-powered lights. We have a couple of potted plants with, look like little Christmas trees in them. They're live. I don't know what they are exactly, but they stay green all year, some kind of evergreen. And I string them with lights. I think they call them fairy lights, or little teeny tiny LEDs, and has a battery pack. And I just leave it, put the battery pack at the base of the tree, and it has a timer on it, comes on when it gets dark. It's great, you know.
There you go.
And that really dresses up the front entrance.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Now, another thing, make sure the doorbell works. I can't tell you how many houses I've been to. You ring the doorbell. First of all, I think it should be a law that if you have a doorbell, which you should, that the person ringing it should be able to hear it. You know, how many times that you sit there and you ring the doorbell and you wait and you wait and you wait. You ring the doorbell and you wait and wait. And then you see somebody walking by and they go, "Oh, how long have you been here?" Well, I've been here quite a while, matter of fact, because your doorbell doesn't work. So many times the doorbell failure is nothing more than replacing the button. And if you replace the button outside, go ahead and enhance it a little bit. There's some beautiful doorbell buttons that are available. Go ahead and try that first. Most likely that'll fix it. If you have to do anything with the little transformer or the chime part inside. That's also very easy. It's all low voltage, very easy to work with. So let's get those doorbell
buttons.
That's why
I like knockers, the big brass door knockers.
Yeah.
You can hear those throughout the whole house.
Absolutely. Hey, what about a little tease on our simple solution coming up this hour, Joe?
All right. A lot of people are probably starting to do painting, interior painting projects as the weather's getting colder. I'm going to share a simple solution how to pour paint from a paint can without making a big mess.
Oh, good.
Making the mess is the easy part. We're going to tell you how not to make the mess.
Yeah, everybody, especially when you have a big full gallon of paint and you just spent 30 bucks on it or whatever, you don't want to lose a drop at all. And painting tips are something that you can use all year long, inside and out. And that's certainly another thing as we go into the holidays. You might want to paint an accent wall in your foyer. You may want to paint, a room, your dining room that you're going to be spending those gatherings. A lot of ways you can improve your house without breaking the bank or spending too much time on it. Hey, we're just getting started here on today's Homeowner Radio. So glad you're with us. Sit back, relax, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
There's no place like home for the holidays, or HomeDepot.com for holiday decor, with Black Friday prices inside and out, like artificial Christmas trees starting at just $39.98, or outside lights and playful inflatables to bring joy to the neighborhood. Order online, and you'll even get free delivery. Holiday decorating improved with a wide assortment of holiday decor from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. Free standard shipping on most online orders over $45. Some exclusions apply while supplies last.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, and welcome back to the show, the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and we like to put a spotlight on one of our many stations that we have carrying the show each and every week. We have over 300 stations now, including this one in Weston, West Virginia, WOTR FM 96.3.
Weston is located in north central West Virginia, and it's home to the American Museum of Glass. And also, it's the home of Jackson's Mill, which is the childhood home of Thomas Jonathan Jackson, better known as Stonewall Jackson, the celebrated Confederate general. And Danny, if I remember correctly, doesn't your family, part of your family, come from West Virginia?
Charleston, West Virginia, Charleston, East Bank. Absolutely. My mom was born there, and a lot of her family still lives in and around that area.
Well, hello to everybody in and around Weston, West Virginia. If you have a question about your home, get in touch with us.
Yeah, we make that really, really easy. All you have to do is really pick up the phone. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner hotline. That is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, your opportunity to ask any question, any comment. We certainly would encourage you to give us a call anytime. A lot of people like to send emails. We like to get them. todayshomeowner.com/ask. We also are very active on our Facebook page, the Today's Homeowner Facebook page. You can send us messages through that as well. And don't forget about Pinterest, Instagram, and if you'd like to send me something through Twitter, it's at Danny Lipford. We've got Jim on the line right now with a question that we get a lot, and talk about attic ventilation. What can you get too much, too little, and so forth? Jim, welcome to the show. Glad you're with us.
Great to be here.
All right. Tell us about your particular situation here, because I can tell that you've spent some time thinking about it. So explain what's going on there.
Yes, sir. I live in Jacksonville, Florida, and it's rather hot during the summer months. And my attic always seems to be excessively hot. I've done some research on the internet. It seems like they have algorithm calculations that decide how big your soffit vents need to be to give you adequate flow through the attic of fresh air. And it seems, according to these calculations, that my attic vents that were pre-made by the builder to be 3.5 inch by 3.5 inch are not large enough. Mm-hmm. But I can't find any information to help me figure that out.
Okay. Well, it certainly doesn't seem like very much ventilation in there. That's very, very small. You know, traditional vents usually are like 8 by 16 is a kind of the footprint for that. Of course, the absolute best is continuous venting, where you have the trench vent all the way around the soffit area. And usually that's used in conjunction with ridge venting at the top of the roof there. But Joe, what do you think in terms of calculations on this? I've heard of a lot of different ways of approaching that, but I wonder a ballpark of what Jim really should have in that attic.
Yeah, Jim, now we're assuming you do have a ridge vent, right?
Yes, sir, I do have a ridge vent.
Okay, good. Yeah, otherwise it wouldn't hardly matter what your soffit vents are doing. But yeah, I agree with Danny. What I have in my home is pretty typical up here is what you refer to as a strip vent or a continuous vent, runs the entire length of the soffit. It's only about maybe 2 inches wide, but it lets in quite a bit of air. But the general rule of thumb is you need at least 1 square foot of vent space for every 150 square feet of attic space. Now, that's just your attic. It has nothing to do with the square footage of your home, of course. It's just the size of your attic. So again, that's 1 square foot of vent space for 150 square foot of attic space. Now, you can do away with some of those vents if the attic floor has been air sealed, meaning there's a vapor barrier and everything's caulked really well and there's almost no heat coming up from the house itself, then you can extend that 1 square foot of vent area for every 300 foot of attic floor space. I would err to the side of the 150. You know, you cannot have, if the question is, can you have too much airflow into your house? No. Especially if it's flowing out, you know. So I would always err on the side of having too many vents as opposed to too little. And 3.5 by 3.5, I didn't even know they made vents that small. You'd have to have a lot of them. You have to have them every 4 inches, at which point you might as well put in a continuous vent. You could do the calculation, measure your attic, get the square footage, and then add up all those 3 by 3s, 3.5 by 3.5 inch vents. But I suspect you're probably going to have to enlarge at least a few of those to get the proper airflow that you need.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. The house was custom 30 years ago, and
right.
They literally made little pieces. They cut a hole, installed a screen, and then put little trim pieces around to make the 3.5 by 3.5. So it's not an actual vent.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, you know, you could easily just cover over that with a traditional vent. And now I have in my notes here, 60, you actually have 60 of these small vents?
Yes, sir. I have 60 vents, and they're all 3.5 by 3.5.
Wow, that must have taken days to put all those little bitty pieces of trim on there. Joe, see, that would be 4 pieces of trim times 60 is 240 pieces of trim. Wow.
Somebody was getting paid by the hour.
With at least 2 nails in each one, so do the calculations. There's a lot going on. But I think that would work well, Jim, if you found some 8x16 vents and basically created you a little template, a little cardboard template that you could position over each of the vents, or, as Joe mentioned, at least do maybe one side or two long sides of that, of your house. It's not fun to cut upside down like that. You'll have sawdust in your hair for days, but... It is the way to do it in order to increase that footprint. And if you increase it, you know, go from this to that size, which is give or take, three quarters of a square foot, you're going to supplement it very, very well. But you do need to make sure there's no insulation in the attic that's covering up this ventilation. A lot of times, you know, attic ventilation or attic insulation will get over into these overhang areas and really just render it just about useless. So you'll want to make sure that this has a free path to bring that fresh air in and then to be able to exhaust it all the way out of the ridge.
Sure. That makes sense.
And Jim, one other thing, I'm not recommending you have to replace all these 3.5 by 3.5 inch vents. You might be able to just replace enough of them to get the necessary airflow. You know, just enlarge whichever ones you need, or maybe cut in new spots someplace else, new openings someplace else. So you don't need to necessarily replace 60 of these with something else. You just need to enlarge enough of them to get the airflow that's required.
Okay. Is there any other kind of options to reduce the heat in an attic?
Well, not really. I mean, because that's going to be a natural thing with heat rising into that cavity of the home. But being able to have this convection flow of air with the cooler air coming in and going straight out is really about all that you can do. I know there's some radiant panels that you can put in under the rafters that theoretically will keep the heat from the decking and the roof, actual roofing, from contributing to that heat. But it's kind of difficult sometimes to really justify that in terms of getting your return of the investment for those radiant panels on an existing home. So probably doing what you're doing here and paying attention to getting enough air going into that attic is probably the best thing you can do.
Awesome.
Good. Well, Jim, thanks so much for being with us, and maybe you can take care of this before next summer and you'll be cooler, and also you'll have some extra money because you won't be spending so much money on air conditioning.
Absolutely. I appreciate the information.
Okay. Our pleasure. You take care. Have a great week. Hey, we wanted to tell you real quick about a special edition of our Today's Homeowner podcast. We're taking some industry experts that I've known over the years and have some nice informal conversations with them. And one is my friend Frank Owens, who's the Vice President of Marketing for QuickReed. You know, we talk about all kinds of concrete that you need for most projects. And also, he'll share with you an exciting product that's in development right now at QuickReed. It's an amazing company, QuickReed. They've been around for 80 years, and this podcast is available right now at todayshomeowner.com/podcast or wherever you download your podcast. So be sure to check it out. I guarantee you, you'll pick up something in that you can really use around your home. Hey, coming up, we've got a lot of emails, a lot of information. We've got a simple solution. We're going to be talking with people from all over the country. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford, along with Joe Truini, and we'll be right back.
Call Today's Homeowner Radio anytime, 800-946-4420. Danny and Joe will be right back. Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
Hey, and welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot. How doers get more done. How many cleaning jobs around your home need something stronger than a garden hose, but less than a full-blown pressure washer? Probably more than you'd like to count. Well, that's where the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus Power Cleaner comes in really handy. This tool delivers water at 320 PSI, or that's per square inch power that you have there, which makes it ideal for cleaning outdoor furniture, windows, boats, campers, anything like that. It has a 3-in-1 nozzle that allows you to switch from turbo to 15 degrees and rinse modes. You simply attach it to a garden hose, or for the on-the-go cleaning, pull water from any freshwater source with the included 20-foot siphon hose. It's compatible with all 18-volt OnePlus batteries and features a water-resistant battery enclosure. So to find out more about this Ryobi 18-volt power cleaner, just head over to homedepot.com. I can see where that would be extremely useful, Joe, in a lot of different situations around the house. We talk about pressure washers. They can still be a little intimidating to people, but this one's right. A little more manageable, a little lighter, and very interesting that you really don't even have to use a water hose, just
That's
a water source. So you can drop that 20-foot siphon, wherever whatever water you have around there, and that'll work out pretty well.
I was thinking about you down at the boathouse. You can just drop it in the river and spray down your boat.
That's right. And Sharon can wash the boat. It would be awesome.
Or keep you off the docks. You back onto the lawn.
Right? Hey, right now we're going to jump back on the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Shirley is with us. Shirley, welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show.
Thank you for talking with me.
Absolutely. Tell us about your windows and problems that you're having there.
Well, we bought this house about 7 years ago, and it's great. We really love the house. But once the winds came from the storm, it blows the rain straight across instead of down. And even though we have eaves out about a foot and a half, Well, we got water in the living room, and we got water into the bedroom. And it was very frustrating because, I mean, you know, everything looks great, but something has happened, and when that water comes in on the windows, it drains down, and it drains through the wall and comes into the floor.
Oh, boy.
We had several buckets of water in the living room at 10, my husband said, and then we didn't know this, but that night when we went to go to bed, we walked up about halfway to the bed, and the carpet soaked.
Oh,
so
no.
It came into the bedroom as well.
Oh. Well, you know, what happened so much? Well, let me ask you, what type of siding do you have on the outside of the house?
It's vinyl siding. I'm not crazy about siding, but it has it. And I'm assuming when they put the siding on, they sold them new windows here on the front.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's a really poor job of putting them in because after it happened, of course, after the fact, I put plastic halfway up the windows, you know, to keep it from coming down in.
Mm-hmm.
But then I checked it. And when I run the water hose on the outside, well, it came in. And it comes, evidently the windows were just jammed in there because there's an opening in between the first two windows for sure. And
I see.
The water just pours in.
Yeah. Well, so many times people really get in a little bit of a hurry when they're installing those windows because you really need to start the waterproofing of windows before you even have the window in your hand. When you have the framing and, you know, framing it correctly and putting the right membrane around it before you put the windows in and all of that. But with existing windows like that, it's time to really concentrate on caulking it very, very well. You want to make sure that you use a good quality acrylic latex caulk. You also can buy caulk that is the same color as your trim or your siding so that you don't even have to do any touch-up. But you really need to get someone that, and a painter is a great person to do this, that can really concentrate on the perimeter of that window and caulk it in really, really well on any crack at all. Now, occasionally, when you have, you know, Joe, she was talking, I think, about some mull strips that are joining two windows. There's a lot of problems with that. And also, I've seen where people with vinyl siding will actually block the drain holes at the bottom of the window so right. that on a mild rain, you might not notice it, but on a heavy rain, it allows that water to actually back up and drain inside the wall. You think that could be happening, Joe?
That could.
I think that's exactly what's happening because actually I came in, I brought my little flower pot thing I water my plants with, and I opened the window, and I just poured it right in the bottom of the window, and it goes to that side and goes right down and comes into the living room.
Well, Shirley, I think you're right in suspecting that they order new windows when they put on the siding, and these are replacement windows. There's probably no nailing flange around them, so they just set into the existing opening and they caulk around. There's nothing to keep the wind or the rain from coming in other than a bead of caulk around it.
You can caulk in the bottom of the window frame,
You'd caulk around the sides and the top. And now, are these double-hung windows?
I don't know what that means exactly.
It means there are two pieces of glass, and one slides up and one slides down?
Yes,
yeah, okay.
Yes.
They're not sliders. They don't go right to left. They go up and down, right?
Up and down, yes.
Okay, yeah, because sliders, the ones that go left to right, leak more often than these. So I would make sure they lock really securely, caulk all around them. Other than that, there's not much else you could do. I mean, you could put something on the outside, but these windows should be sealed. They're not that old, right? They should be sealing out the weather.
They don't appear to be that old.
Right.
And I don't know. We looked at getting just a storm window to go on the outside, you know?
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, exactly.
And, just a plain. Then the problem with that is you can't fit the storm window on because on the one on the outside there's only like a quarter of an inch.
Oh yeah, that would make it difficult.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And yeah. So we have a little bit of a problem, but we're just trying to find someone somewhere who would tell us, you know, what we could do with it, and I think that'd be helpful. You know, a painter like you said would probably know.
Yeah. Yeah, they do a lot of caulking, and they would know the right caulk to buy and to be able to really concentrate in sealing all of that up. That would be the first thing I would try. Not to say it's going to be 100%, but I'll bet you'll be taking a step towards getting it nice and waterproofed, and I bet it will take care of everything. I sure hate you having those kind of problems, Shirley, but thanks so much for being with us on the show. And one thing about it, something like this, the solution is very reasonable. It's not going to cost you a lot of money to take care of that. Hey, we're talking about a lot of problems with windows coming up. We're going to be talking about a different type of window, glass block window. That is something that was extremely popular many years ago and it's kind of making a comeback here and there. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more right here on today's Homeowner Radio.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea. Brought to you by Tite Bond.
Regardless of your skill level in home repair or woodworking, you want a glue that you can trust, because a glue that doesn't work can ruin any project in a hurry. Fortunately, Tite Bond has the glue you need to get the job done with confidence. From interior glues with strong initial tack and short clamp times, to exterior glues with exceptional strength and water resistance, look to Tite Bond for the right glue for your next project. For more information, visit TiteBond.com or see them on Facebook.
Black and green stuff growing on your roof or siding? Pick up Wet and Forget's new rapid application hose end. Now Wet and Forget No Scrub Outdoor Cleaner is even easier with a brand new nozzle that attaches to your garden hose and sprays up to 30 feet. Wet and Forget hose end quickly and easily treats surfaces you normally couldn't reach without climbing up the ladder. Each bottle cleans up to a whopping 2,000 square feet. Visit wetandforget.com to find a retailer near you. Looking for an easy DIY project? Here's a great way to update old kitchen and bathroom counters. I'm Danny Lipford, and I'm here to tell you that the Spreadstone Mineral Select Countertop Refinishing Kit from Deitch Coatings is a great stay-at-home project. This real stone countertop kit comes with everything needed to transform up to 40 square feet of surface space. Choose from 10 colors, and right now the kit is priced under $125 with free shipping. Go to DeitchCoatings.com to order your Spreadstone Real Stone Countertop Kit today. When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486. Say no to cold, drafty windows this winter with a Duck brand Max Strength Rolled Window Insulation Kit. The kit helps block drafts with puncture-resistant rolled film that's 2 times thicker than standard window kits, so it's great for high-traffic or pet-friendly homes. The easy-to-use roll of film means there's no measuring needed. Once it's in place, just cut it to size. And the crystal-clear film means you don't have to sacrifice your view for comfort. Say no to the cold and visit duckbrand.com to find a retailer near you.
Today's homeowner is brought to you by Tite Bond, the pro's advantage.
And I want to share with you that today's homeowner hotline number, 800-946-4420, is the number you can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to get the answers to any of your home improvement questions. Also, we love to get emails, and you can send us one right now at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now on the hotline, we'll head to Minnesota. Janine is on the line with a question about a window. So, Janine, welcome to the show. Tell us how we can help you.
Hi, thank you. I'm assuming Danny and Joe are on here?
Absolutely.
We are.
Okay. So what happened is I had a large glass block window in my shower, and we replaced it, or had it replaced, with a smaller window that cranks open. And now I'm really confused on how to tile up to it or onto it, or how I seal it properly so that, well, it's in the shower, so obviously that's problematic. So.
Okay. We've dealt with this quite a bit. There's a lot of them, out there in older homes. Actually, in my brand new home, I have one in my shower. It's a fairly large shower, so the water can't get to it. But still, you got a lot of moisture there and a lot of things you have to deal with. Now, the window that you installed in there, is it an aluminum or vinyl window, or is it wood?
It's a vinyl window, but it does have, and I didn't see how they installed it, but so they put the window in and then they put some sort of window sill that, brings it out to be flush with where the sheetrock would go, or the Durarock or whatever they call that, the cement board.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Okay. Well, normally what there's lots of different ways to do it, but the way I did mine is I didn't have any trim around it, and I actually didn't have a window stool at all, and I just brought the ceramic right up to the edge of the frame of the window, and then we sealed it very well around it. Of course, this is a wood window, so I of course put an extra coat of, well, of course I stained it, and I put three coats of urethane on the inside to protect it, and then I just brought the tile up to it, and then it had a small little crack there that we were able to very carefully caulk, and I'm in good shape. And I would think you would be able to do something very similar in bringing that ceramic right up to it on the sides. May I don't know if it goes over the top of it or not, but either way, but bring it right up to it and then just caulk along the edge there. Joe, any input on that? Joe's done a lot of ceramic work over the years and dealt with a lot of things. Have you dealt with this very much, Joe?
Yeah, I have. And Janine, this is, you said it's a crank out window. Now, this is a casement window or an awning window? Is it horizontal?
Awning.
It's also an awning window. Yeah, perfect. So it's up a little higher, so you crank it out and it's hinged at the top, and the bottom kind of swings out. That's good. What I would recommend is, since they put in what you call the window sill or whatever they have that comes out flush with the backer board, the cement backer board. Now, this has not been tiled, the wall. Is that correct?
Well, the wall, it was tiled up to the previous window. So,
right.
I obviously have to tile into it.
Okay.
I have to take some of the tile off to begin with.
Okay. Well, I would tile up to that opening, and then on the interior where the window stool, some people refer to it as the sill, but the interior part, instead of putting tile there, I would put a piece of stone or even a piece of solid surfacing material. You want one solid piece. You don't want tile that would have any kind of joints in it, and it would have to obviously pitch down toward the shower. Now, right now, it might not, which isn't an issue because the tile setter can put more mortar in the back and he can pitch it so it's sloping down. And if you have that one solid piece set in mortar, sloping down, water would run off, the perimeter of that piece would have to be sealed, not with grout, but with caulk, some kind of silicone or siliconized caulk. And that would be the best thing to keep water, because it's a vinyl window, so the window itself, the glass and the vinyl won't be affected by it. And caulk everything else. You can tile up or put stone again up the sides and across the top. I suspect that this is high enough that it doesn't get direct water splash, right? It's not.
Yeah, well, and I'm short, so there's really nothing that gets up that high.
Oh, good, good. So, but that's what I would recommend is, just caulk where you around that sill, but make it out of one solid piece of some water-resistant material.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Hey, our pleasure, and thanks so much for being with us here on the show, and hope the rest of your week goes well.
Thank you. You too. Stay safe.
Okay, you as well. Thank you. Hey, I want to tell you about a little thing here, a little giveaway, actually a significant giveaway, because if tools are on your Christmas list, you're in luck. We're teaming up with our friends again at Woodcraft to give away a $1,000 Woodcraft gift card. It's our Tools Under Your Tree giveaway. You can buy a lot of tools for $1,000, so make sure you enter today. All you have to do is head over to todayshomeowner.com/giveaway to sign up for your chance to win. Woodcraft carries power tools, hand tools, woodworking supplies, and so much more. You will fill up that workshop. So you don't want to miss out. Again, a chance to enter to win a $1,000 Woodcraft gift card at todayshomeowner.com/giveaway. It's happening right now through December 13th, but don't wait. Go ahead and make sure that you sign up and get involved in that right away.
So you get to pick out the tools they send you.
Yeah, yeah, you get a gift card.
Oh, right. That's great.
And I tell you, if you're browsing around the internet there, go to woodcraft.com and just browse through there. You might think all they have is stuff for serious woodworkers. Might surprise you. They have everything the serious woodworker needs, but also things for crafts and arts and crafts and all kinds of hobbies, as well as for the novice woodworker. A lot of things happening there at woodcraft.com. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking about a simple solution that you're going to want to hear. Joe, get one teed up and ready, because we're coming right back and we're going to go right to you for that simple solution.
I'm ready.
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
At the Home Depot, get Black Friday pricing now through December on great gift ideas for any doer on your list, like a Ryobi Impact Drill Driver Kit for just $99, was $129. Save on top tools, appliances, the latest in smart home tech, even holiday decor to light up the living room or bring joy to the neighborhood. Black Friday savings, in-store, online, store-wide. Gift giving, improved. From the Home Depot, how doers get more done. U.S. only, while supplies last, see store for details.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checknewwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinginwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Welcome back to today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
Joe and I have so much fun each and every week being with you and sharing with you some of the information that we've gathered over the many years of being in this business. And one of the things that just really hooks you, I talk about this all the time, is when you first start doing remodeling and first start doing some repairs around your home, somebody will share with you a little trick or a little tip that has really worked well for them. And that's what we like to do right now with our simple solutions. What do you have, Joe?
All right, Danny, whenever you pour paint directly out of a can, it's always a big mess. And the larger the can, the bigger the mess. Paint winds up dripping down the side of the can. It gets into the rim of the can where it eventually dries into these crusty bits that get into your paint. So anyway, here's how to prevent that from happening. All you need is a roll of tape. I just use regular painter's tape. Usually you should get one that's at least 1.5 to 2 inches wide, though you need a relatively wide piece of tape. And tear off a length maybe 8 or 9 inches long, and then just press it down at an angle across the edge of the paint can and let it extend past the edge of the can by, you know, an inch or two. And then take another piece of tape and do the same thing at the opposite angle. So what you're creating is like a V shape of tape on the edge of the paint can, and allow, and this is important, allow the ends to extend past each other by, again, an inch or two. Then you fold under those ends, and what you're forming is a little V-shaped spout at the end by folding the tape underneath it. And then when you pour the paint, you just very carefully pour the paint out, and it won't get into the rim of the can. It'll drip over the tape and come to that little point that you folded over the ends and drip perfectly straight little line of paint right into, you know, the container or the tray or whatever you're doing. And then when you're done, you just straighten the can up, and some a little bit of paint might drip off that tape, but you can just hit it with a brush. So that's it. I've used this, and then peel the tape off immediately. If you're going to pour it again, you probably would need to replace the tape.
Well, I tell you, you know, and you can use tape for just about anything, that type of painter's tape. Of course, that's a great idea in order to minimize any of the spills. But, you know, I'm doing things, you know, where I'm gluing something up and you can't get a clamp to it. So you take a piece of painter's tape and you put on it.
Right.
And the different things. One thing a lot of people don't realize on painter's tape, and I have seen many, many people make a mistake on this, they'll leave the tape on too long.
And we're talking about weeks or months too
weeks,
long.
Weeks, yeah. Or even, you know, several days sometimes. The paint will penetrate into the edge of that tape sometime, and you peel it off, and it's not giving you that nice clean line that you, you know, had set out to get. So most paint manufacturers or paint tape manufacturers will tell you to remove it almost as soon as you finish painting, and also to remove it at kind of pulling it at like a 90-degree angle so that you're pulling it off and having that nice clean line that then dries really well, and then you have those professional results that you want. Hey, if you want to hear some more simple solutions or see some more simple solutions, there's over 500 of them waiting on you right now at todayshomeowner.com/simple solution.
Including that one.
And you can see Joe's pretty face and his little hands and how he does it.
No, I think you just see my gnarly hands, I think is all you see.
Well, that pretty much wraps up the first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. Certainly glad you guys have been with us here. And, you know, if you're listening to a station that doesn't carry the second hour of the show, no problem. Just head by todayshomeowner.com/radio so that you don't miss a thing. And also, remember our podcast. The Today's Homeowner podcast is available at todayshomeowner.com/podcast or wherever you download your podcast. Hey, we really appreciate you spending this hour with us here on Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lippert along with Joe Truini. We really appreciate it.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.